So the best game of the bunch, I thought, from the game. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, Driver. Like, Blake, you played Driver for the PC.
We're going to talk about this exact thing and, like, record it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TouchArcade.com podcast. This is episode number 6, and I am live from Paris, France, just out of the Gameloft press event. And tonight we have Arnold.
Hey.
And Blake.
Hey.
And we don't have any guests this week because it's been such a crazy week with me being out of town, but we'll go over these Gameloft games and some other stuff, and hopefully it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think we're planning on just talking about basically the Gameloft event, which was in Paris, France, lasted 2 days, and they talked about a bunch of their upcoming games, a couple of which we've already posted on Touch Arcade, but then a few that will be going up before long. So,
well, they'll be up after or before this podcast.
Yeah, they'll be up before this podcast. So to start it off, I guess, Eli, how was the trip to France?
It was pretty good. The flight was very long, and there was lots of turbulence, and the flight was super delayed, and I was sitting on the plane, you know, and after they tell you to turn off all your cell phones and stuff, we sat there for like a half hour. So I eventually turned my cell phone back on and checked Twitter, and the last thing I see before I fly out is Blake sending me a direct message on Twitter saying, "I'll be praying for you. I hope you make it across the Atlantic Ocean." And I'm like, yes. Oh God, does Blake know something I don't know? Is there like a typhoon in the ocean? Or,
hey man, I was just thinking about you, dude.
every time there's turbulence, I was like, oh God, I hope there's some like huge storm that Blake knows about.
I think that this was Eli's first trip across the pond, as it were. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, so the first game we're going to talk about, and I guess Eli managed to get some hands-on time with each of these.
Yeah.
Blake and I have just seen the videos of the gameplay themselves, so we can contribute something intelligent to the discussion, I think. So, first of all, let's start with Skater Nation, which we've posted about on the site in the past.
Skater Nation was really cool. I mean, I've always been a fan of skateboarding games and skateboarding in general. This really tickled my fancy, even though it was... I mean, it was obviously inspired by the Tony Hawk series. It felt a lot like Tony Hawk Underground, and like even the menu system and everything looked extremely similar. But you know, that's okay. There's not a good, really good skateboarding game on the App Store so far. And if Gameloft can fill that hole, you know, more power to them, I guess. So
Did you actually have hands-on playtime with it?
Yeah, I had hands-on playtime with it, and it's good. I mean, they use the virtual virtual joystick controls, and there's two buttons that control your jumping and grinding and everything else. But because of the control scheme, the amount of tricks you can do are kind of limited compared to the console games, where you know you have like four face buttons, trigger buttons,
many buttons, right?
You know, all kinds of different directions you can push to do tricks.
I was gonna say, I'm watching the video now. Is this you that's thumbing the game right now?
No, the way the videos all worked is Gameloft was pretty protective about what they allowed you to get video of, so all the videos are the actual producers of the games playing.
Oh, I see.
While I film over their shoulder. To do tricks, you do up, down, left, or right in combination with the button. So the amount of tricks you can do is kind of limited, but they have like everything major that you would want, you know, like your kick flips and your shove its and various grinds and stuff like that. You can chain all your tricks together with manuals, just like in the Tony Hawk games. And it was really cool. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Well, so what's interesting is that, you know, I thought it looked great. I mean, I'm not a skateboarder by any means, and I didn't actually play a lot of the skateboarding games, but I mean, it looked impressive to me. Though there's always, you know, there's a few people on the forums who, I guess, are hardcore skateboarders who found a lot of like little technical issues wrong with it.
Well, right, you know, the people that are gonna like this game are people like me who, you know, just really enjoyed the Tony Hawk games,
right.
And you know, I've been following skateboarding for most of my life, but at the end of the day, it's a video game. You know, it was fun playing it, and it.
Right.
Doesn't really bother me that, you know, all the minute intricacies of skateboarding haven't been captured by Gameloft, because, you know, who cares?
Well, I think what's good for Gameloft regarding this game is that I think traditionally Gameloft's done a lot of mobile platform games, and they're known for sort of creating the mobile equivalent of popular franchises, right?
Right.
But the iPhone seems like it's different because a lot of those popular franchises are actually coming to the iPhone. So there's a little more competition, I think, on Gameloft's side, especially with like Grand Theft Auto coming, a version of it coming, and that sort of thing. But Activision hasn't shown any interest in, as far as we know, bringing Tony Hawk or anything. So yeah, I
Well,
think they'll do.
remember there was that Tony Hawk video of some
Yeah, the
demo
prototype.
thing,
Yeah.
of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, I think that was.
Mm-hmm.
So what'll be interesting to see if Skater Nation does very well, if Activision then is like, you know what, let's release this. They've been on the top grossing charts for 2 weeks now, selling a $10 game or whatever they're going to price it at. Because,
Yeah,
I
no,
mean,
I mean, certainly with, right,
why
since
would you buy
Activision.
this over Tony Hawk if Tony Hawk is available, you know?
No, exactly. And that's why I'm saying,
Right.
I guess Gameloft will do well with this, assuming there's no actual official Tony Hawk game coming out, right? I mean, the other thing is that right, Activision's entry into the App Store could change all that because they released that
The Call of Duty Zombies, I think, was their
right, the
game,
Call of
yeah.
Duty game, which was a surprise. No one, they didn't make any noise about it beforhand, but
Right.
it was impressive that they actually did it, and it was actually a pretty good version of that game.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, what was amazing to me about it is the game was only 16 megabytes.
Right.
Which, I mean,
Yeah, I was surprised by the size when I saw it.
yeah. When I downloaded it, I saw that I was expecting it to be nothing, but pretty
Right.
fun. I mean, one map, but whatever, I
Yeah,
guess.
nice game.
Yeah, no, surprisingly good and online multiplayer. So if Activision hopefully will maybe they will come out with a Tony Hawk. I don't know if they'll come out with Tony Hawk 2 though, I guess is the other issue is that
Well,
while it might be more suited for the platform, I imagine that's going to be a weird conversation to have amongst whoever makes those decisions,
if they've
go
got
back
it
to.
all done and working though, and all it needs is some tweaks, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't think it's that big of a leap to think that maybe they'll be like, okay, let's do this,
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, Skater Nation, I mean, it's got all the different game modes that you would expect, like the free ride mode, and there's a story mode where you can play through different skaters to unlock stuff that increases their stats. And
And I saw you jump from like scene to scene or
yeah,
location to
well, the way
location.
it works, it's using they described it as a sibling to the Gangstar open world engine. So it's one big city, but the city is kind of divided into these different kind of environments. I mean, it's all one open city. You can skate from place to place, but there's very obvious divisions between, like, oh, hey, this is a factory that's laid out to, be skateboardable, and this is like an outdoor skate park, and then some other stuff. Like, there's a water treatment plant, I think, and I don't know. I think there was 10 environments, I think. But yeah, I mean, it looked really, really cool. I'm excited for it, so we'll see. And you can teleport from location to location just by bringing up the mini map. So it's not like you have to skate from one side of the city to the other if you want to
Yeah.
go to a different spot. And no load times between locations, which is cool. So one thing that I did notice, the police car model is directly out of Gangstar. So
Oh,
they kind
really?
of exist in the same kind of universe, I guess, in the game world.
That's funny. They should have more crossover stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I'm sure they just did it to save time, but it was kind of funny to recognize it.
Right. Okay, so moving on to the next game is Hawks, Hawx. What's the story on that?
This game actually takes place in there's a whole Tom Clancy game series, which haven't played many of, like the Ghost Recon series and the other Tom Clancy games. And this actually takes place after Ghost Recon 2, which is an Xbox 360 game. I think it takes place in 2014. And they explain the whole premise of the game, like these private military companies are now defending the United States or something like that. I haven't played the Ghost Recon games, but anyone that has, I'm sure will really enjoy that, a mobile version that takes place in the same kind of setting. They've got 25 licensed planes, that cover all the popular jets that anyone that's into jet fighters would really recognize. And all the jets are rendered really well. I mean, the models are really cool, and they've got all kinds of neat lighting effects, including a bunch of 3GS only shader effects, which looked pretty cool. We demoed it on the on the 3GS, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how those degrade down to other devices. But I asked him if you know, if they'll play on all the previous generation devices, and that's a big thing for Gameloft, is that it works on everything. You know, that's a big thing for all their games, not just iPhone games. So
that's cool that they're utilizing some of the new, you know, the extra features of the latest devices.
Yeah, but I mean, it's controlled exactly how you would expect with either a virtual joystick or tilt controls, and both work pretty well. One thing I noticed, the UI elements on the screen are borrowed straight out of Dungeon Hunter. Like when you select your weapons, it has the sliding kind of rotating thing that Hunter has for the spells or whatever. Which is kind of neat. So, you know, you have different weapons you can load out onto your planes and different plane types, but you can use any type of plane on any mission. So, like, if you want to take a fighter jet on a bombing mission, you can, but I don't know how that's going to work out.
The video looked good. I mean, it looked. I guess it's mission based, because it looked like you had a ground mission, like you had to attack ground elements, which I think was very nice. Although what was weird initially was there's like a non-cockpit view.
Yeah, is but that, the different weird, kind of missions have
is that just me?
Different views. Like when you're in infiltration mode, I think it was, you're like flying around and avoiding missiles or something.
Okay.
So that was the one view where you have like the planes flying around while there's stuff being targeted on the ground, because I think those things are shooting at you. But
I see.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool though, and each plane has its own like realistic cockpit, and they even went as far as to use real satellite imagery for the ground. And one of the locations I mentioned this in the preview is Chicago. And it was, being a Chicago native, it was really cool to be able to like fly around the lakefront and like recognize what you were flying over. And it was actually really easy to do, because the satellite imagery was really high resolution compared to like a lot of the other flight simulator games, where it's like, you know, kind of muddy texture ground with some grass on it, you know.
That's cool.
So that was pretty neat.
So do you see this as like do you see this going head to head against like Namco's Ace Combat?
I guess so. I mean,
or does it seem different?
That would kind of make sense. I mean, the Ace Combat I've played was just the limited little demo version from the Tokyo Game Show, and they played pretty similar. So, you know, I don't know all the additional game modes that Ace Combat's gonna have, but
yeah, Blake, you played Ace Combat on the other platforms, right?
I have. I've got a couple of versions of Ace Combat on the PS2. I think, and I think I have one on the X360 and two on the PS2, and they're pretty enjoyable. And I believe I have I've got the I download like every flight demo that I see, and there's a PS3 demo of Hawks, and you know, I've played that and have quite enjoyed it. You know, obviously that's kind of a little bit larger.
Are there ground missions in Ace Combat?
Well, there's bombing missions. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. I think there's bombing missions, aren't there?
Yeah. Right. There's air-to-air fights. There's bombing. You look. You take out a bridge. Take out some ships. That kind of thing. It's got a variety. Yeah. But
so yeah. Any time frame on when Hawks is coming out?
All of these games are holiday games. So we should be seeing
soon.
All of these this month, December sometime.
I think, and then same with Ace Combat, is that right? Or did they say?
I believe so. I don't know if they pushed it back or not. I haven't heard anything from Namco on that recently, so.
Yeah.
I think they actually originally planned to have it at BGG.
Honestly, though, I don't feel like these are really competitors. I mean, in terms of they are, but, I mean, honestly, people I think will spend.
Well, I think, if you're into these kind of flying games, there's so few on the App Store that, you know, you would just buy both of them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting. I was trying to find a recent, you know, one of the most. And again, I've got a few Ace Combats. So I haven't been following every episode. You know, I don't know. I didn't know what it is that's the latest, and so I kind of did a little digging one afternoon to try to just so that I could pull down what was probably the most impressive modern flight action game, and everything that I. You know, basically, the culmination of what I saw was that Hawks, you know, and again, I pulled the PS3 version, the demo down, but that Hawks was a little more impressive than the latest Ace Combat. That was kind of what I felt from the research I was doing. And it's interesting to note that Hawks on the main consoles is published, you know, by Ubisoft, which is I guess the brother of the, you know, of Michelle, who runs the Gameloft.
Yeah, well, so. Driver, which we'll be getting to later, is also a Ubisoft title, so mm-hmm. it's kind of cool. So, and also Assassin's Creed, yeah. that Gameloft is doing too, so it's kind of neat that they're sharing.
Right. Right. Yeah. But yes. So if whether or not I got the most accurate take on the situation, you know, my afternoon of looking would told me that Hawks is probably the most impressive, you know, modern fighter out there for the typical entertainment center consoles, even as compared to the latest Ace Combat. So mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of saying something. And it was quite enjoyable. You know, it was quite enjoyable what I saw in the limited time I spent with the with that PS3 demo. So.
Well, what's cool about this game, I think, is that so often Gameloft just does these games that don't have much soul to them, I guess, just because, I mean, like, Skater Nation's a good example, where it's a skateboard game and it's cool, but they don't really have much behind it, I guess. But, I mean, the Tom Clancy universe is huge, and if it's taking off of Ghost sure. Recon, I mean, that's pretty awesome. I think that people that like the Ghost Recon games will, you know, check this out, even though they might not like, you know, fighter jet games, just because it's something else that takes place in the universe.
Well, you know, knowing that it was coming from the Tom Clancy universe, I mean, there's all these games, you know, all these games, all these books, you know, all these stories, and, you know, my assumption was, okay, you know, there's a Clancy story, and they're trying to back it up with here's a game out of nowhere that's, you know, writing one of the Clancy stories, and I assumed that it would be inferior technically to, you know, something like a dedicated focus, like the line that is Ace Combat. But it was just interesting to find that's, you know, so many people thought that, you know, even though this is just like, okay, Clancy, let's do this flight game, you know, that it kind of hit it so well. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. It's not like the...
Right, you wouldn't think, oh, you know, here we're doing a flight game for Clancy, and you'd think, oh, well, it's going to be lame. But really, it's not. It's again, my experience is with the PS3 version, but, you know, there's sort of a tie there, so...
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I mean, it didn't come off as, you know, kind of a lame knockoff at all. I mean, it definitely seemed mm-hmm. like a game with substance to it, so...
Yeah. That's cool. they paid attention to what, you know, what they needed to do to make that an enjoyable game, I think.
Right. So that's cool. Yeah. And it's also, I guess, was there any talk about multiplayer?
Yeah, it has a local multiplayer. I'm looking through my notes right now. I think it is 4-player local multiplayer over Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So another thing that I thought was kind of interesting about this is I asked them how long they've been working on this game. Because this is an entirely new game engine for Gameloft. So, you know, hopefully we'll be seeing, I mean, not hopefully, but I'm sure we'll be seeing more flight games from Gameloft, just because they never use an engine once. But I guess the whole thing was developed in 8 months by a team of around 25 dudes, and it's got around 4 hours of gameplay total if you don't, you know, spend time on the unlockables. And I just thought it was kind of interesting how, you know, we see people that complain about the amount of gameplay time in these games, but it's like, you know, hey, this is 25 people working on something for 8 months, and, you know, they've compacted 4 hours of solid gameplay into this. I just thought it was, you know, kind of an interesting statistic,
right?
That a lot of people maybe don't realize how much actually goes into these games. I thought it was neat. I mean,
people
you
don't really
account,
think about it.
You know, how much time and man hours went into this to get, you know, 4 hours of gameplay. That kind of makes you wonder. You know, like, it kind of makes me wonder how Gameloft determines gameplay time in their development cycles, because 8 months seems like a long time for mm-hmm. an iPhone game. You know, especially when you have to sell it for like under $10.
Right, but as you say, I mean, I guess they'll take a lot of that technology down the road on the iPhone and maybe other devices, you know. So mm-hmm. I would imagine between the latest smartphones, app phones, whatever you call them, you know, there's a lot of translation, you know, Android. I know they're targeting pre-Android, that kind of thing, so they probably...
Well, with any luck, Gameloft will find themselves downloading a copy of Crimson Skies off the Xbox Live Arcade and get inspired to make a Crimson Skies type game.
So Gameloft's actually reducing their Android investment.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They're cutting back.
Really?
They sell 400 times more iPhone apps than Android apps.
Yeah, go figure.
Not 400%, 400 times.
That's
40,000. What?
That's interesting. I don't know. This just seems that seems funny. I don't know why that seems so funny. I talked to a number of Gameloft folks that were kind of excited about the pre. Have you followed the pre statistics with them? I haven't. You know, with what they're doing with the pre.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, because I mean, some of those guys were kind of excited about the pre, and I don't know.
Well, nothing's taken off like the iPhone and the App Store, so they're just kind of wasting money and time on other platforms, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, also, id is killing all their, or not killing, but they're winding down all their Java Brew stuff.
Yeah.
Even though they actually say that they may, that it makes money, but it's just it's a hassle because of all the different carrier decks and whatnot.
Right. It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, I guess for hardcore gamers, as the iPhone gets a little more notoriety, a little more acceptance as a game platform, interestingly, the iPhone becomes, I could see that being the lead, and then the secondary phones, Android, that sort of thing, Brew, becomes kind of what the Mac is. For desktop games, you know what I'm saying? Where people are kind of like, oh, you know, it's not really worth, not necessarily worth our time. That's sort of ironic somehow.
Yeah. But, all right, so moving on to the next game, Avatar is a movie-based game that Gameloft's coming out with.
Yeah,
shortly.
Everyone in the whole world seems excited for the Avatar movie except me. I mean, I really...
I'm not that excited about it either.
Yeah, I don't
really
know.
Excited.
But I guess this game has been in development for 1 year already, which is kind of crazy. I think the team behind it was the same team that did Hero of Sparta.
Makes sense.
And they plan to release it on the alongside the movie, which I think comes out on December 15th. It was pretty cool. It's a nice hybrid of platforming. And then they have different quests you can do in game, and you get this crazy looking horse that you can ride around. And then there's some levels where you're flying around this thing they called a banshee, which looked a lot like a Panzer Dragoon style rail shooter.
It looked a lot like Panzer Dragoon. Am I mistaken there?
No, it definitely does. I mean, it really was pretty cool.
I mean, that's gonna get some folks kind of riled up and excited. Panzer Dragoon was like. Like a cult thing,
but I guess all the people behind the Avatar movie gave them like complete access to all the different assets of the movie, so the game is extremely faithful to the
movie.
Oh,
really?
Which is kind of interesting. But the plot of the game isn't like a typical movie game where you're essentially just playing the movie. The game is kind of a prequel to the movie, so if you enjoy the movie and play the game, you'll get some more plot out of it that you wouldn't have normally gotten out of just the movie, which I thought was kind of cool because movie games are often so lame, especially once you've seen the movie.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, the game looked good. I mean, I liked Hero of Sparta, though I thought it was a little. I don't know. There's something about it that
I guess it was a little shallow to me.
Yeah,
a little
it was
light,
shallow,
yeah.
A little easy. I mean, it was very visually impressive. The cutscenes were really well done. I mean, I played it all the way through. But yeah, it wasn't like, it didn't have me like running back to it or anything.
The cutscenes for Avatar look amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Avatar, it looks like there's a little more platforming, like you said, because there were like elements of like climbing up and dodging like things that were like coming down at you.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of platforming, and there's some like Hero of Sparta style combat in it, and it looks like a good hybrid of most of the main kind of adventure game types, which is pretty cool. But I don't know, it still kind of feels cheapened in just a way because it's a movie game. But maybe I'm just biased against movie games in general.
Was the horse riding and like those components, were those like big components of the game, or were they just like sort of like minor?
That's what I wasn't really sure about, because our time with the game was so limited, and everything's still in development, that I'm not entirely sure, if those are going to be main parts of the game, or just like, kind of a mini-game kind of stage, or what the deal is on all that. But, I mean, everything I saw looked really cool, and the draw distance on the 3GS was absolutely insane on some of the levels. But I guess if you play on older devices, the draw distance is reduced, so you have a good frame rate throughout the entire iPhone.
So they are scaling for platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, you know, as we were going through this, I'm kind of watching again the videos as we talk, and I'm looking at the what we've been calling the pardon me, the Panzer Dragoon portion, and the animation on the dragon-like creatures is quite impressive, and the draw distance, actually, as you're approaching those floating stone pieces is extremely impressive, really.
Yeah.
But I'll also say that the horse looks very much like an anteater.
It kind of does, yeah. But I guess they this essentially is a Hero of Sparta engine that's like been completely remade, I guess. And an interesting fact that they threw out was each level has more textures in it than all of Hero of Sparta.
Really?
Which is really?
Well, the videos, to me, the videos look well beyond Hero of Sparta. I mean, I wasn't, you know, Hero of Sparta was visually impressive. I was not that impressed with it as a game. But this, you know, aside from, I haven't played it, so gameplay I can't really comment, but visually this looks a lot more impressive to me than Hero of Sparta.
Yeah.
That's surprising because, you know, it's not, the hardware hasn't advanced that much in terms of the, you know, there's what you were saying, that statistic.
Right, yeah, I don't know, well, I mean, it definitely...
I guess it's just a matter of...
I mean, they might not have been pushing the iPhone to its ultimate limits originally, you know.
Right, well, yeah. That too, and I guess they just, I mean, I guess having more textures doesn't necessarily mean much, except that you spent more on art or had more assets.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it looked really cool, and also it had a in the actual combat portion, it has like a combo system, kind of like God of War and those other similar games where you can chain huge combos from enemy to enemy and stuff. So it looks pretty cool. I think people like this game. I mean, I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting over the whole movie game thing, but it looked really cool and it played really nice. So.
You gonna see the movie?
Probably, I guess, eventually. I don't know.
It seems a little more interesting than the 55 different Harry Potter games that are out there. You know?
Well, not for iPhone, but...
Well, right. Well, there's that wand game coming out.
It's out.
Yeah, the wand game is kind of lame, I thought. It's a cool idea, but mediocre implementation.
Yeah. I think if you're a Harry Potter fan, you'll like it. But
oh yeah, no question.
That's about it. I mean, it's really well done.
Look, it's Harry Potter.
Alright. Let's go on to GT Racing.
Yeah, GT Racing. This game is not coming out this year. It's a 2010 title, so we're not even able to show any screenshots or movies of it until Gameloft gives us the all clear. But when it's done, there's supposed to be around 100 cars, all licensed, throughout around 25 or 24 manufacturers. Cars range from, you know, the iconic famous racing cars and, you know, Ferraris and stuff like that, to and classic racing cars, to just regular old daily driver common cars. And it played a lot like the Gran Turismo games, in that it's a serious racing simulation where you have to really manage the your cars, controlling your car and braking and everything else, how you really need to actually race, instead of a game like Asphalt, which is more of an arcade racer where you just you know, hold down the gas and, you know, run into anything that gets in your way. But
so it's like the also where real racing, I guess, aligns itself.
Yeah, but real racing, it sounds like this is really going to blow real racing out of the water when it comes to the amount of cars and having actual like real cars and real tracks and everything like that.
Yeah, from what I saw, it looked like the, I guess real racing is primarily set, I mean, I guess I didn't get crazy far in real racing, but in terms of the environments or the backgrounds, what was your, I mean, do you feel like, I guess this one had more sort of scenic or non-racetrack areas?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to say because the preview that we were given was the track Laguna Seca in California, which, you know, is in every single racing game. And the reproduction of that, I thought, was, you know, faithful to other games that I played. And the only car you could race was a 67 Shelby GT. So, you know, the brief time I had with it, it seemed pretty cool, but it's way too premature at this point to say, you know, whether or not it's...
To say where it's going to take
it. Beat real racing or... you know, whatever the deal is. But it had all the same options as Real Racing, where, you know, you can, if you're not good at racing games, you can turn the traction control all the way up and, you know, brake assist on and everything else, and the game pretty much will, you know, help you through it and stuff. But if you're more of a hardcore player, you can go through and play events and unlock different, and get money to buy different performance upgrades and, you know, tweak your car out and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, the poly count, you know, on the vehicles looks pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, the game did look kind pretty of crazy.
The sense of kind of this somehow. I think it might be actually. I'm pretty sure it might be a camera angle thing, but it seems to have kind of a more of an expansive feel to the view. I think that definitely is a camera angle thing. Or am I?
Yeah,
am
well, there's like. There's tons of different camera angles you can take. There's 6 different camera angles, I want to say, including cockpit views, which are modeled after the cars and stuff. So
yeah, they've just done a good like this view that I'm looking at now. It's almost like a subtle fisheye kind of thing. And the way it's set up, you really get a good feel of motion for what's happening in the far edges of the screen, and that's impressive.
Yeah, and I guess there's going to be weather changes on the different tracks that you know, affect the grip of your car, and there's also going to be rally tracks, just like Gran Turismo. So,
nice!
You can take your rally cars around and tweak out your rally cars and stuff.
And, the rally races are nice. Did you get any indication as to whether or not there's and 3GS specific pieces to this?
Well, it seems like a common theme with most of these games that they at least did something that, you know, was 3GS only and then scaled down. But because it was so preliminary, they, you know, details were extremely vague.
Right. That's pretty interesting. If it's good to see. It was my hope. I guess it was everyone's hope that developers would, you know, kind of embrace the 3GS capabilities, you know, when it's available, and of course also on the 3D Touch, and kind of scale back when it's not. That's I guess that's kind of the best mix. Early on, when the 3GS came out, everyone's kind of wondering, you know, what's going to happen, and that it's nice to see that people are sort of stepping up.
Well, I kind of get the impression that GameLoft realizes that, you know, we're obviously going to see a new iPhone and iPod Touch every year now, and a lot of these games are still going to, you know, I mean, they might be towards the end of their life cycle on the App Store by the time that these new devices are coming out this summer, but, you know, it makes sense to be looking forward instead of looking back and in the, you know, terms of hardware. So, I don't know. Everything was really cool. And also, this game has 6-player local and online, I guess, multiplayer they plan on having.
So, online?
Yeah, I guess. But
not sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you know, the whole thing was so vague, and there was kind of you know, some translation issues, I think. So I'm kind of reluctant to really take too much of this stuff from.
Yeah, well, this one's a little further out, like you said. So we'll have to see. I mean, GameLoft, they've sort of made a lot of noise about multiplayer coming to a bunch of their games, right? I mean, at least to it'll, you know, and understandably, I think there's some infrastructure issues with that. So hopefully we'll actually come through with, you know, online multiplayer for, Modern Combat?
Yeah,
Sandstorm. And then also the upcoming, I guess, Nova game. Was that, there was talk about online multiplayer?
Yeah, they talked about that before, I guess. That's still under embargo for a while, though, so.
Yeah, well, I just meant publicly. They've, I don't remember if they talked about it.
I think they have plans to have pretty much online multiplayer in a lot of their games now once they get the whole GameLoft Live thing cooking.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we'll see.
So, okay. So, moving on to the last game that you previewed at GameLoft. Driver.
Yeah, Driver, which. If you were a PC gamer in the late 90s and you did not play Driver, you know, I have to ask what you were doing. Because Driver was, like, Grand Theft Auto came out, and there was the lull between the 2D and the 3D Grand Theft Auto, at which point Driver came out. And I think I'm remembering this timeline correctly, in that, you know, it was kind of like a Grand Theft Auto game, but you couldn't get out of your car, but you did, like, crime-oriented different missions, playing as a undercover NYPD detective. So Driver is a remastered version of the PC game, and they're using all of the same driving and physics engines from the game. And they went through, and if you played the PC version, most of the graphics were kind of dark and muddy, which was just kind of a limitation on color palettes and textures at the time. But they've gone through and actually revamped all the graphics and colors and everything, so the game actually looks better than the PC version that came out 10 years ago, which is kind of crazy to think. You know, how much technology has advanced since, you know, I was playing that on my Pentium 133, maybe I had around that time. So, yeah, and all the cinematics are from the original, and all the plot and missions and everything else are the same. The game has different, you know, the same racing control options and everything else with the D-pad or virtual joystick or tilt. And also, if you remember the original was extremely difficult in the precision required in driving your car. So they've included an easy mode and an original mode. You know, so the easy mode will allow people that aren't into games where you have to like retry the mission 10 times to be able to complete it. And
the, people without the extraordinarily dexterous thumbs.
Well, the first mission in Driver, I remember taking me forever to complete, just because it was so difficult. Mm-hmm. So
the demo, was this the original or was this the easy?
I believe that was on easy mode in the
oh, really?
So because it's the original version, it has all the original cities from the original game, and there's four different cities, and each of them are larger than the Gangstar cities, which is kind of interesting. And there's, you know, just as much gameplay as the original, which was somewhere between, you know, somewhere around 7 hours or so. And they've revamped some of the UI stuff to be more friendly. Like the original version just had this crazy arrow that pointed you in your direction that was extremely vague. And they've added a GPS system that kind of gives you better waypoints now. And I've brushed up the interface to be iPhone friendly. And It's cool. Gotten a bunch of TLC from Gameloft, and this is the game that I'm most excited about seeing from everything that I saw.
Yeah, looking at the video, it looked good. I mean, it looked I don't know, everything looked the car felt heavy, I guess, just from looking at the video, which unlike maybe Gangstar, which driving around there, it felt a little less substantial. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, do you? Mm-hmm.
Like no, looking at the video, I mean that's whatever the core play mode of the game is. If you're driving a vehicle, I definitely you want it to kind of feel like an actual, you know, you're kind of moving an actual object through the world. And mini games, you know, lack that so unfortunately. And this one definitely seems very. You know, you definitely have a feel for the car as far as what I'm seeing from the video.
Yeah, well, and there was a fair amount of cars at times, I guess. Not completely.
Yeah, a lot. The video, the portion of the video I'm looking at now, there's like 11 cars on the screen.
Yeah. Actually, another fun fact with this E3, 1999, the game it won the Best Racing Game Award, the Game Critics Awards.
Oh, yeah?
The PlayStation version was ranked number 12 on IGN's list of the top 25 games of all time for the first PlayStation. So I mean,
the original PlayStation?
Yeah, this game's got some serious pedigree to it. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool to see it coming to the iPhone. So
nice.
It'll definitely
That's good.
It'll be exposing a lot of people that, you know, probably were too young to even be playing video games when. You know, when the first one came out to it, which
well,
is...
I confess, I was certainly not too young, but somehow I guess I missed this one. I might have been in a non PC phase at this point, but sadly, I this one did pass me by back in the day.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'll like it. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's going to be cool. So
yeah, it looks nice. It definitely looks very good.
What
you, you said this is the one you're most excited about from all of the games that you saw
oh, yeah.
in
well,
your time.
Just because, I mean, it's such a substantial game. I mean, this is not a cell phone game. You know, all the other games are kind of, you know, toned down cell phone games. But this is an actual, I mean, this was a real PC game that, you know, people bought for 60 bucks or whatever it cost back in the day. So, I mean, this is going to be something huge. And what
do you know if they've got this on other is Gameloft rolling this out on any other mobile platforms, do you know, or is it iPhone exclusive?
I'm not, they only talked about iPhone stuff at the event, but I mean, knowing Gameloft, they, you know, they reuse everything they possibly can, so you know, we'll see. But
see an Engage version.
Yeah, well, the UI and everything was obviously very specifically designed for the iPhone, so I think they would have to do a lot of work to port to something else.
Yeah. Right. I think iPhone's really a large push for Gameloft, so it wouldn't, you know, they don't, it's not like a given that they'll bring this to another platform so quickly, just because there's, I don't know what other platform really is worth the investment at this point, because it's a pretty substantial version, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously your little Nokia phones aren't going to be pushing this.
Right. Well, what would be interesting to see is, I believe the original PC game was a 2-CD-ROM game. So it'll be interesting to see how this weighs in on the file size department. If, you know,
because if it's the entire game, right.
Yeah, and revamping the textures and stuff like that to, you know, bring it up to today's standards of graphics and stuff. It'll be kind of interesting to see if this is, you know, a gig iPhone game.
It'll be interesting. I think one of the features ever since, you know, way back when on the Dreamcast, that the PowerVR chipset had particularly good texture compression. So, who knows? Maybe they've squeezed it down to something a little more manageable. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. So I don't know. But all these are coming out, you know, holiday season. So I mean, this will be awesome.
Good time to be an iPhone gamer.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive. Save your money if you think these games sound cool, because I'm sure they'll all cost between, you know, $5 and $10, like most Gameloft games.
Yeah, it's going to come out in this series of, what, within like 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Well, the scary thing is they said all of these, you know, when you ask them what date they're planning on coming out, you know, all are going to be mid-December. And if Avatar is coming out, you know, with the release of the movie, that's the 15th, so it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a busy week for us, too.
Yeah, five huge Gameloft games over the course of like 2 days.
Yeah, Eli, you don't get a Christmas break this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just lock you in a room, play Gameloft games for the week.
Maybe we all need to go see Avatar together.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll see it in 3D on the IMAX. That actually would be kind of cool.
See that anteater horse.
But yeah, scary. I mean, I'm curious to see what, you know, what the fans of these games are going to say about all of them. Because, I mean, we've already gotten some kind of mediocre comments about the skater game because, you know, it's such a, you know, Tony Hawk, you know, quote-unquote inspired game. And
I mean, there's always... See, I mean, you always get, like, someone who's... There's people who really... there's every, like, all the major developers have, like, their haters, you know, the people who just complain about Gameloft because they're Gameloft. And, you know, I don't know what you can say about that. I mean, you know,
that was kind of interesting. I asked a couple of the producers, you know, like what their workflow is like. I mean, you know, if they just take a game, you know, like in the instance of their Halo, you know, game, if they just like looked at Halo and were like, let's make this for the iPhone, you know, just play Halo and then turned into a game, and They said that what they were aiming to do is they looked at the App Store, and they you know, they could see glaring holes and, you know, things that were missing, like, you know, for instance a good skateboarding game, there's not one on there, and then they, you know, try to fill that hole, and because there isn't a good skateboarding game, you know, this is going to sell like crazy, and, you know, the strategy makes sense.
Yeah, so, I think that's true, actually. I mean, yeah.
I mean, you can look at really all of these games and see that, you know, there's definitely room in each of the markets that they're you know, trying to go for. So, you know, we'll see what they come up with in the future.
Yeah. All right, Eli. Thanks for heading all the way over to Paris for the Gameloft event. And
9-hour flight home.
Yeah, you'll. And then your sleep schedule's all messed up, too, so it'll be interesting.
Well, the sleep schedule's terrible anyway with dealing with Touch Arcade stuff because of how irregular the App Store is, but...
That's true.
It's even worse.
So what time did you wake up this quote morning, Eli?
About 2:30 a.m. Paris time.
Nice.
All right, well, I guess that wraps up episode 6 of the Touch Arcade podcast. Next week, we're almost certainly going to have a developer on talking about their game and or new games, as well as other games we've played to catch up. Any final comments, anyone?
No. If I don't make it through customs, I don't know.
We'll come looking for me.
Alert my parents and girlfriend.
That's right. All right. That's it.
Give you like a body cavity search and stuff like that. But hopefully you won't be one of those.
I mean, I guess if your lifelong dream is to be a turtle underwater, it would be pretty awesome, but... Dude, ever since you told me your ice bucket story, I always rinse out the ice bucket before I use it.
But I'm getting drunk fast, so I'll be alright. I would probably not attempt to bring Cuban cigars home. But that's me.
Well,
I don't know.
Worst thing they do
I don't know.
Is take them away.
Yeah, I guess. Is that the worst thing they do?